Okay, we're up to the end. We're in the middle of Parakas. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're at the Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis, B'yoyim Echad. Before we go further, I just want to go back and touch upon some ideas. Some ideas that we did not yet mention. Okay, I came across something interesting. The Pasuk we mentioned before, going back a few Pesukim before, it says when Esther pleaded with Achashverosh to take back the letters, back in Pasuk Hey, Vatimer im ala melech tovim motzasi chen lefne v'chashera ha'advo lefne melech v'tevel v'vnav yikosev l'chashives ha'svarim. Esther demanded from Achashverosh that he take back l'chashives ha'svarim. So we mentioned, we discussed different ideas. I came across a new idea from the Sefer Birchas Av. It seems like it's a very popular Sefer on the Megillah Esther. It's an old Sefer. And he says, he asked the question that Esther did not know that there was a law. There was a law in the government that a decree that has been enacted cannot be returned, cannot be rescinded. What was she thinking? So he suggests that when it says here, L'Hashives HaSfarim, it's not referring to the actual decree of Lahashmid Laharugul Abid Labid is Kola Yehudim. That she knew was beyond repair. That she knew had to be dealt with another matter. What she meant to say was, it's all of the anti-Semitism, all of the literature. Now, I think when we look at World War II, when all of the propaganda of the Nazis, all their publications, all the movies, all of the various means of media that were used in order to arouse the Tzibor, the country, against the Jewish people, that is what she was asking for. The decree, I know, the decree cannot be rescinded. That we're going to have to deal with in another way. But at least in the meantime, issue an order that it should be illegal to publish anti-Semitic literature, anti-Semitic articles and various forms of media against the Jews. This is what she was really asking for by saying Yikosev L'Hoshives HaSefarim. Okay, another interesting idea that I came across, where it says here, where is the pasuk? Machashaves Haman ben Hadassa. Maybe we'll come to it later. Okay, we'll come to it. Let's go instead. Let's go. Okay, this idea. Okay, one more idea before we go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud, it says, "Vayichtoy v'shem haMelech Achashverosh, vayichtoy metulat haMelech, vayishlach sefarim v'kubiyad haritzim v'asasim." Okay, now let's go. So let's go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Right away, Asher Nosan haMelech Vayidim Asher b'chol ir v'ir. What did he give permission? We're up to Pasuk Yud Beis, but I want to review Pasuk Yud Aleph to bring out one more idea. Asher Nosan HaMelech LaYehudim Asher B'chol Ir V'il HiKohel V'la'ud Al Avsham. They're allowed to gather, and they're allowed to defend themselves. L'Hashmid L'Harog U'Labed Es Kol Chel Am U'Midina Hatzunim Osam Taf Enoshim U'Shlolom Lovos. That's the key word. The two key words I want to focus on now. U'Shlolom Lovos. And then Pasuk Yud Beis begins, when shall this decree take place? Biyom Echad, on one day, B'chol Medinois HaMelech HaChashverosh, B'shloshah Asar L'chodesh Shneim Asar U'chodesh Adar. This event, this new decree that the Jewish people have permission to stand up and to defend themselves and to gather and to protect themselves and L'hashmed L'harugul Abed, all of their enemies, shall take place on Yom Echad, the 13th day of Adar, the same day when the first letters gave permission for the people of the Umos Olam to destroy the Jewish people, and also Ushlolom Lavos, they can take their wealth, they can take the spoils of their enemies. Now notice, there's a very interesting dig. Notice here, in these two psukim, the word Ushlolom Lavos comes before the words B'Yom Echad in Pasuk Yud Beis. If we go back to the original Gezerah, The original Gzera was in Perek Gimel. In Perek Gimel, Achar Hadvar Mo'ile Gidal HaMelech HaChashverosh. And Haman saw Mordechai, and Mordechai refused to bow down. And he went to the king and he said, you know what? Let's destroy the Jewish people. And here, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it's Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, V'nishloach sifarim, b'yad harotzim el kol medinat samelech, lahashmid laharogu labedes kol hayudim, minar v'yad zokein taf v'nashim b'yomechad. Now, notice it says, immediately, b'yomechad. The decree of death, of destruction, lahashmid laharogu labed, will be b'yomechad in one day, which day? B'shloisho osor l'chodesh, shem osor chodesh adar. And then it says, u'shlolom lovois. So the Shlalom Lavos, those two words in the Pasuk and the expression appear after the date. First there is the date when the enemies of Klal Yisrael can do what they wish, and Blahashmi Lahar Gulabis Kola Yudu Minar Vyad Zokin Vichulu Vichulu. And then, and what day will this be on? This will be on the 13th day of Adar. And then, Ushlalom Lavos. In addition to killing and killing the Jewish people, you can also take their wealth for yourself. Here, when Mordechai is writing letters to the entire world and telling them it's just the opposite, that Klal Yisrael has the right to defend themselves and to attack their enemies, it says, when will this take place? And it says, all of this will happen. They will defend themselves, they will kill their enemies, and they will take Ushlolom Lavos, on which day? B'yom Echad, on one day, which day? The 30th day of Adar, on the 30th day of Adar. So the question is, why in the Gezer of Haman is Ushlolom Lavos after the date, and why by Mordechai is Ushlolom Lavos before the calendar date? So the answer, the commentators give the same answer, so in a few places, the commentators give basically the same answer. Haman wanted that the people, the enemies of Klal Yisrael, should use all their time on the 13th day of Adar to kill. They should not be distracted by the money. If there's only one day, there's only a very small window of opportunity to carry out this plan. If on that same day you have to kill and you have to plunder and take the money for yourselves, you're not going to kill too many people. Because what's more important in the eyes of the non-Jews than the money? So they'll kill one Jew, and then they'll spend the whole day searching the house for diamonds. They'll be searching, where is the money? And by the time they finish searching for the money, the day will be over, and on the following day, they will no longer be allowed to kill another Jew. So therefore, Haman said, the entire day, their money is off limits. First, every single moment of the 13th day of Adar should be dedicated to Lahashmid Laharog Ulaabed Eskol Hayehudim Minar Vyad Zokin Taf Enoshim B'yom Echad. And then, after the 13th day is over and all of the dirty work has been done, forever after you can go and you can search for their money, Ushlolom Lavos. Ushlolom Lavos was not limited to day 13 of Adar al Adar. The only thing that was limited to the 13th day of Adar is Lahashmid Laharok. But Ushlolom Lavos, you can spend the rest of your life searching for their money and keeping it for yourself. But when Mordechai reversed the Gezerah, or gave Klal Yisrael the chance of self-defense, to stand up and to protect themselves, Mordechai did not want Klal Yisrael spending their time, their lives, stealing the money, taking the money of their enemies. So Mordechai said, his Gezerah, you can kill them, and you can take their money only Bo Bayom, only on the 13th day of Adar, as a way of showing we're not in it for the money. We're not trying to defend ourselves and to attack our enemies because we want their money. We're not like you. And indeed, as the Psukim record later, when it actually happened, Uvabizom lo sholchu es yodam. They did not take the money of their enemies. So it's a very, very interesting diuk. Where the words Ushlolom Lavos are positioned in the Pasuk from Mordechai's decree versus Haman's decree. And Haman's decree, Shlolom Lavos, appears after the calendar date to indicate that the Shlolom Lavos is not limited to a time. The Shlolom Lavos goes on forever and ever. But Mordechai, when he reversed the decree, he made sure Shlolom Lavos was put before the calendar date to indicate that you only take their money on that day, but not on the later point in time, to show the world we're not trying to conquer enemies because we want to take their money.
This is the 12th day. This was the day before.
13th day. No, this was on the 13th day, not the 12th day. That's the month. That's the month. The Shneimasar is the month.
Right.
The month and the day is the 13th day. Okay, so this is what is taking place in this pasuk. Let us see over here the Rashi pasuk Gibbeis. If there is, there is no Rashi. Let's see over here the Targum pasuk Gibbeis. Biyom echad, in one day, b'chol pilcha de malka chashreirosh, b'tlas asar yom, and on the 13th day, liyerach treyasar, hu yarcha da adar. The Megillah, as you mentioned many times, always tells us the actual name of the month. The name, the Persian or the Babylonian name of the month is what we always calculate. We should not make a mistake and think that when we say the number 1 and 2, we're calculating from Tishrei, we're always calculating from Chodesh Nisan, and the Megillah never lets us make that mistake. It's consistent throughout the Megillah from beginning to end. We're always counting the months from Nisan, but we're calling the months by their Babylonian names, and in this case it's called Adar. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. Pashegin Hakisav. The text of the document. Li Nosein Das B'chol Medina U'Medina Goloi L'chol Ho'amim was exposed. The text of the document of the script that was to be issued as law in all of the districts of the world. Goloi L'chol Ho'amim was to be revealed. Vilihios haYehudim asidim layom hazeh, so that the Jewish people be prepared for this day. Linokeme oyvehem, to take revenge from their enemies. Now, before we see Rashi, there's a very interesting dik of what it says. Goloi, what?
The definition of this pasuk of dos.
Dos is a law. It's like when you get married. Hareat mikudeshesli bitabazo kidas. Moshe of Israel. What's das? Dalit Sof, the law. The law of Moshe of Israel. What?
That definition fits here.
Same thing. It's the same exact word. The only difference is the nikud, depending on the location in the pasuk, is it das or das? But it means the law.
What?
Eish das lamo, a fiery law. Eish parashas hazinu, eish das lamo, a fiery law unto them, unto Klal Israel. Zosabrachay. No, Yeshua is Hazinu. Hazinu Hashem Yeshua. Hazinu.
One becomes two.
No? Zos HaBracha?
Yeah.
Okay. I stand corrected. It's written as one, you have to pronounce it as two. Das b'chol medina medina goloi l'chol amim liyos. Now, what does it mean over here? Goloi l'chol ha'amim. This fits very well with what we studied back in the beginning of the Megillah, that the original gezerah of Haman was not Golui, it was concealed. As we remember, there were two letters. According to most of the commentators, there were two letters that were sent to the entire world. One letter said that you should be prepared. V'lihios asidim layoim hazeh. On this day, the 13th day of Adar, be ready. Something momentous, something memorable is going, something important is going to be announced. Everyone should come to the post office, come to the clerk, come to the mayor. He's going to open up the second letter, which is concealed, is not the opposite of Goloi L'chol Ho'amim. Here, when Mordechai sent the second letter to protect Klal Yisrael from the danger, it was Goloi. Everyone can read the letter immediately. And the letter said that on the 13th day of Adar, Klal Yisrael has the right to protect themselves. And if you're going to see what's written in the other letter, which is going to be read on the day, on day 13th of Adar, which will then become exposed, until that point it was concealed, you will see that this letter is basically giving, is overriding the old letter and is allowing Klal Yisrael to protect. So here, it is a form of protection of being, they know in advance what the letter says. Now, V'lios HaYehud Asidim. Now again, here it says over here the HaYehudim. We read HaYehudim, and it is spelled HaYehudim. asidim, they should be prepared layom hazeh lihinakei me'oyveihem. Now, why is it spelled? What's the deeper message? What is the deeper message of hayuhudim and not hayuhudim? So the answer, there are probably many answers, but one simple answer is that Mordechai over here is trying to hint to Klal Yisrael, don't get too carried away. Don't get too carried away with having permission to attack, to destroy your enemy. It's not the Jewish way to take revenge. And therefore, if it would say Lios HaYehudim, the nation, you have a nation, you have a state of Israel, you can protect yourself on this day, so drop a couple of nukes. Drop a nuke on this country, drop a nuke on this country, you can drop nuclear bombs all over the world in order, okay, when the nation takes revenge as a nation, HaYehudim, as a nation, the revenge is fatal for the world, for all of the enemies. But if the revenge is only going to be Lios HaYehudim, individuals, so you'll have an incident here, you'll have an incident over here, individuals will bear arms and will take out pockets of enemies in isolated areas. So the degree of revenge is subdued. It's very, very minor relative to what the nation can do as a whole to take revenge. If Klal Yisrael, if imagine today, if the state of Israel has been given the authority to take out its enemies, they'll just send in the Air Force and they'll send in their military might and they'll wipe out countries who they find to be a thorn in their eyes. But if it's not a matter of state, it's a matter of, on this day, any individual who has a neighbor that's giving him a hard time. So today is the day when you have the right to put an end to your enemy. How many people are, what's going to happen? The whole world, nothing's going to change there. The world's going to go on the same way. There'll be a couple of situations where individual enemies will be taken out. Mordechai here is trying to tell Klal Yisrael, don't get too carried away in exercising your right of taking revenge from your enemies. It's not yet the time of Mashiach. When Mashiach will come, when it comes time to Mechias HaMolek, the real Mechias HaMolek, then the revenge will be on the scale of a nation, of Am Yisrael taking revenge against Umos HaOlam. But we're not there yet. And therefore, it says there, V'liyos HaYehudim. We read it, Lios HaYehudim. But Mordechai is hinting, don't get carried away here. It's only HaYehudim. An individual can take revenge against his enemy because since we are still in Golis, if we do take up this option, it's not going to be good for us. The Umos HaOlam will fight back. They'll fight back, they will organize, and we will be, Rachman Litzlan, decimated. So therefore, Mordechai is very political. He's very careful in how he expresses this letter. He's hinting to the people, don't get too carried away. And the truth is, they didn't get carried away. How many did they kill? 500 people. The Megillah of the End says it was nothing. It was a joke. They killed a few people relative to how many enemies we had. They killed 500 people in Shushan Adira, and they killed, and they only, and Shlolam Uvabi Zom Lo Sholchu Es Yadam. So certainly, this is not exactly the times of Mashiach. This was a token fulfillment of what's going to look. It's going to be in the time of Mashiach. And there's another very beautiful, a lot of farshim, they focus on the word atudim. Atudim, lios hayudim, asidim. We read the word asidim as we substitute the vav for a yud, and it takes on a new form that they shall be asidim prepared. Layoim hazeh, similar, parallel to what Haman said back in Paragimel. But that's not the way it's spelled. Here it's spelled atudim. Atudim means sheep. That's akudim with a kuf. That's akudim nikudim. I think it's with a kuf. Right? So it's a different word. So different. The word is atudim. Atudim in Hebrew means sheep. It means sheep, and what he's alluding to is so different interpretations of what it alludes to. One of the interpretations given by the Medrash is that until this point in time, we were like sheep to the slaughter. Right? We were like sheep. Klal Yisrael was just waiting to be. We was waiting. We were on death row. Ketevach, katevach, latzon. What's the expression we say in davening? We said it today. We said.
By the Messiah.
I think it means also it means sheep. Elamatu dimakai. I'm not sure. We have to look it up. I don't know.
Speckled sheep.
Speckled. That's what it means. I don't think it means. I don't know. We'll see. But here it means sheep. So Klal Yisrael, this point in time, until this moment in time, they were katevach latzon, like sheep waiting to be slaughtered, and now. This moment, everything has changed. We have changed into a situation where we're anticipating the slaughter of our enemies. So it's a degree of v'nahapichu. Everything suddenly changed, transformed from one extreme to the other extreme. Atudim also has a connotation of dancing. Is Atudim, there was a very great... What? There is a... Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know. There's one of the words... I don't know. Okay, we'll have to come back to it because I'm going to have to... It'll take me too long to look it up. Let's see what it says over here in Rashi and in the Targum. We're coming to soon a massive, massive Targum here about Mordechai, but let's see what it says here in Pasuk Yod Gimel. Okay, Pashegen. Pashegen means Igeres Mifurash. It means the explicit text. The explicit decree was printed... Let's see. Now, before we go further, there's an interesting gra. The gra, he has a novel interpretation of what this pasuk means. He says that Achashverosh's second letter was basically there's a typo in the letter. It wasn't a letter to counteract the first letter. The first letter said that the umos ha'olam can arm themselves and prepare lahashmid laharug labedes kol hayehudim. Period. So there's a typo. When it says in the original letter lahashmid laharug labedes laharug, it means it's the Jews who have permission. It's the Jews who have permission to be the ones that go on the offense. In other words, let's go back to Perek Gimel. In Perek Gimel, where it says in the letters v'neshlach sefarim.
It says the male goats.
Elim atudim. So what's elim? Elim are adults.
Goats. Elim.
It's an expression.
It says five rams, five eagles.
Elim atudim.
Elim chamisha,
atim chamisha. It's two separate things. Elim are the adults, and the atudim are the babies.
It's sheep.
Tudim are sheep. Now, pasuk over here, Yigimel. If you go back to Perek Gimel, pasuk Yigimel. If you look at the precise reading of the word, v'neshlach sem biyad haratzim el komidus hamelch lahash v'havel abed es kol ha'yehudim. There's a typo. The letter was, when it says in the pasuk lahashmid laharugul abed, it's not the commas. You just mentioned to me, where do you put the comma in the pasuk? It's not that the victims are the ones that are going to be slaughtered. If you go, you can read the pasuk two ways. You can read v'nishlach sifon biyad harotzim el kol medinay samelach lahashmid laharog ula abed. Who are going to be this? Who is the subject of lahashmid laharog ula abed? Who are the victims? Oh, the pasuk says es kol hayehudim. The Yehudim, they're the ones that are going to be the victims of this onslaught of Lahash Lahargul Abed. But you can also read the Pasuk that Lahash Lahargul Abed, comma. Who are the ones that are going to be doing the Lahashmid, the Laharog Ula Abed? Who are the ones that are going to be taking the offensive? Oh, es kol HaYehudim. It is the Yehudim. They are the ones that are going to be doing this act to wipe out the Ninav Yad Zakein Taf V'Noshem B'Yomech HaBashon Shal Chodesh Hashem B'Vosh Adar. So, it's not really clear, it's not perfectly clear from this pasuk if the Jews are the victims or are the Jews the aggressors. However, the next pasuk does make it crystal clear. Because the pasuk says Pashegin pasuk yudal, and a parag gimel pasuk yudal, because Pashegin hakasof li nasin das chol medina binogoloi lechol hoamim, all of the amim lihios asidim layom hazeh. That it's the amim that should be prepared. You don't have to be prepared to be a victim. To be a victim doesn't require preparation. What requires preparation is to go on the offensive, or to become the aggressor, the perpetrator. You have there is where you require. So since the Pasuk Gedal, it says that the Amim are the ones that should be prepared, it's now clear that Pasuk Gimel, when the Pasuk used the word Eskol HaYehudim, the HaYehudim are the victims, not the ones that are going on the offensive to take revenge on their enemies.
It's not the Kriyak Siv. This one.
This one is not a Kriyak Siv. This one.
Kriyak Siv, you could say the same thing before. I told them they were the sheep.
They should be the victims. They should be the victims. Okay.
Because it doesn't say that, it's obviously that they're the aggressor.
The Gra says, what did Achashverosh do? He says, there's a typo in my letter. When it says in Pasuk Yudalid, Pashegin HaKasav Nasim Das B'chovidim Goluy V'lohomim L'chiyos HaYehudim Asidim Layom Hazeh. That's all it said in the letter. According to the Gra, this is the Gra, an incredible chiddush to say such a thing. The second letter was a typo in Pasuk Yudalit. Not Lios Asidim Layom Hazeh, Lios HaYehudim Asidim Layom Hazeh. Add one word into Pasuk Yudalit. The Jews are the ones that have to be prepared to be ready for this day. You don't need to prepare to be a victim. You need to prepare to bear arms, to organize. What? Lihido came, that the Jewish people will take revenge from their enemies. Lihino came,
shall be
avenged.
By or from their
enemies. From their enemies. They will kill them, and that way they'll be avenged from their enemies. Right? Lihino came, oivehem means to obliterate their enemies. He will take.
I think you mean the Jews being obliterated.
No.
Avenged from their enemies.
From their
so
enemies.
Who's going to do the avenging?
In Pasuk, here it's clear in Perek Ches, where it says, "V'liyos hayudim lihina came to
be avenged
by how."
To cause the revenge.
It's clear from the context, the Pasuk Yud Gimel means that the Jewish people will destroy their enemies, and thus they will have been avenged. They will have, by taking revenge, they will have been served. They will have been avenged from their enemies. That's clear from the context of here in Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Gimel. But according to the Gra is telling us the second letter is just added one word into Pasuk Yud Perek Gimel Pasuk Yudalid, that it's the Jewish Lihios HaYehudim Asidim Layom Hazeh. So now Pasuk Yudalid sheds light that in Pasuk Yud Gimel you have to put the comma in a strategic location. V'nishloach Sifarim Biad Harotzim El Kol Medinos HaMelech LaHashmid LaHarog U'LaAbed comma. That on this day there's going to be utter destruction, obliteration, genocide. Who will be doing the destruction? Who will be bearing arms? Eskol HaYehudim. It is the Jews that are going to be doing this. And what will they be doing? They will be wiping out, it continues, who they're going to destroy. They're going to destroy Minar, Viad, Zokain, Tafenoshim, Biyom Echad, Beshleshus, L'Chodesh Adar, U'Chodesh Adar, Shtolom Lavos. That's how the Gra learned Pshat in the Pasuk.
That's what he usually does. He's big on Kriyin Tziv. He makes drushes like a this week from Pasuk. And he says, Ksov, Zosi, Karom, Basef, V'Sim, V'Ozne, Yoshua. He says we have the machlokus about, Shaul said Zohar, he said he made the mistake. He said, so when he told Moshe to write the sefer, he says, you could write it, he doesn't get vowels, but make sure you whisper in his ear what it says.
Zecher Amalek, or Zohar Amalek, not Zecher Amalek. He said Zohar instead of Zecher or Zecher. That's how he made the mistake. So that's a very novel interpretation of how you explain the Shad in the Pasuk. You just add one more word in the Pasuk Yudalid, and that forces you to re-understand, to reinterpret Pasuk Yud Gimel by putting the comma in a different location. Now let's see the Rashi and the Targum of Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Tagma Diksava. The Tagma means, as we said, the explicit part, the Pashegin Hakasav, the explicit expression of the text. Le'is Yehova, that shall be delivered as Gezeras Dina, as the law. In the as the law, the decree of law, behold pilcha, barir, it should be clear. So he translates the word galui. Okay, that's a very interesting translation. We until now translated galui in a very simple level. It should be exposed. In contrast to the first letters that were sealed and were not to be read until the 13th day of Adar. The Targum does not follow that approach. He instead says the word Goloi means crystal clear. There's no ambiguity. It's explicit that the Jewish people have the right to protect themselves and to put an end to their enemies. L'chol anamaya, dihon Yehudoi, all of the nations, the kama, dihon Yehudoi, that, the Jewish people, Atimo sin liyoma hadin, shall be prepared for this day, l'isperami ba'alei divaveihon, to take revenge, to free themselves of their enemies. Pasuk Yidalet, harotzim ruchvei harechesh v'chashtronim, the runners, the people who ride upon the chariots, v'chashtronim of the what was that fancy word you had there?
There's two different groups. Ratzim is one group, and ruchvei harechesh.
So it's not clear. The before, when Haman sent out the letters, it does not make any mention of horses. It makes no mention of special camels. It just seems to say they ran by foot. Here it says now the Ratzim, they roich v'harechesh, they went on chariots. Special...
And chariots, maybe. And the runners...
And chariots? I'm not sure. I think it's more of an explanation. Who were roich v'harechesh, ha'chashtaranim, who the people who rode upon the chariots of the chashtaranim, meaning the government-issued vehicles. Okay, the government vehicles are the most expensive vehicles, right? They have all the bells and whistles, the latest and the greatest, custom-made, and... So these are the achashtronim, means the highest levels, the highest officials in government. They had special chariots, and the runners used these vehicles in order to reach all of their destinations to deliver the new letters. Yatsu, they went forth, mivo halim udichufim. Two words, bidvar hamelech, two different expressions. Mivo halim means, let's see, in a very swift, and they...
You say nifhalu.
They were bewildered, in a state of bewilderment. I saw one of the Farshim says, because the runners were in shock. We just came back from sending letters that said that we can destroy the Jewish people. And now we're sending letters again, letters the opposite, that the Jewish people have the right to defend themselves. They were confused. The people that were the most confused, the people that had to actually bring the letters. Could you imagine the response? When they arrived at the post office and they told, well, I have a new letter, and the new letter says the opposite of what it said in the previous letter. Obviously, there's a lot of confusion and bewilderment. And that's what the pasuk here implies with the word mevoi holim. Udi chufim, they were pressed. They were told, run, go right away. Bidvar hamelech, through the dvar hamelech. And vados nitna b'shushan habira, the law was passed immediately in Shushan habira. Rashi, mevoi holim, why does it say here they were mevoi holim? Mimaharim oisam lasos mehera. So Rashi has a much similar interpretation. Doesn't mean they were bewildered. It just means they were forced. They were pressed to travel very quickly. Lefi shelo hayulchem penai, they had no time. Why did they have no time? Now remember, we discussed this last time. This is a discussion of the Rishonim. Did they wait for the original riders to come back before they sent the second batch of riders? So we discussed last week that since the letters took place, were written on the 23rd day of Sivan, what took so long? If this entire story took place on Pesach, on the 16th day of Pesach, why did it take until the 23rd day of Sivan? That is more than a month. Okay, that's a month a month and a few days. Why did it take a month until they would send out the messengers to rescind to send out the new letters? So we learned last week that many of the commentators said this: the reason why there was a delay was because they waited for the messengers to come back. That would be ideal because they know exactly where they delivered. Remember, the ancient world, it wasn't so simple. You don't want to go send new messengers. Who says new messengers will reach the same destination as the old messengers? So you wait until the original messengers come back, and then they go again, and by going again, so they'll know exactly where to deliver the new letter to cancel the old letter. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says he's not telling us why it took until the 23rd day of Sivan. We had other interpretations. It had to be like that Hashkocha Pratis. There were delays. There were technicalities because it had to be exactly 70 days of a Gezerah. 70 days from the 13th day of Adar until the 23rd day of Sivan. And there were technicalities why it took so long. But when they did go, these new set of messengers went, they were different messengers than the original, and they were instructed to go faster to overtake the old messengers, the first batch of messengers, especially since the second batch had available to them vehicles. The first messengers, it says nothing about vehicles. It just says that they went by foot. It doesn't say they went by horses and by camels. So that's why it says here, Mevohalim, Rashi learns, Nemarim, my son, Lassus, Meheir, Lefich, Lohoyelchem, Penai, Shoyelchem, Hakdim, Rotzim, Horisham, Lahavim, they had to go to overtake the first runners. Let's see, the Targum, Pasuk Gedalet, Rahitin, Dirchivin, riders upon chariots, Al Rikhsa, upon a Rikhsa, Artul Yonei. Okay, I don't know what that means. It means over here, some type of a special chariot of a king. Or of a leader. Nifaku zerizin, they went zerizin usichifin. Okay, so it's translating mivaholim means swift. Usichifin, another word for quick, they were pushed. Bipiskama de malka, ugzerastina ishihivas beshushan habiranta, and the gzera was issued in Shushan Habira. It's a beautiful drush. Vadas litna beshushan habira means, what is the das? As mentioned before, Eish das lama. The Torah was given in Shushan Habira. If anyone asks you, the Rabbi Rakefet, he always makes a joke, and he says that he went and learned in Lakewood for a very short period of time. The one thing he learned in Lakewood, they taught him that in Matan Torah, the Torah was given in Yiddish. And if anyone tells you otherwise, they are mistaken. Torah was given, the only way you can learn a sugya, you can talk in learning, is in Yiddish. That's one of his very big things. He talks about the Rav Soloveitchik. He wrote the book on Rav Soloveitchik. One of Rav Soloveitchik's big things, he changed the language. One of the first big Rosh Hashivas who changed the language of study from Yiddish to English. I was talking about like a Rosh Hashiva level shiur. It was probably unprecedented at that time. Right. They probably taught children, they taught children, but the teach, you go to a high shiur in a yeshiva, it's Yiddish.
At what point did he change?
Probably in the middle. He has all the details, and he has all the details on how it happened, and how it happened, why it happened. But we don't appreciate this because we don't live in those times. But going back to the '50s or even earlier, whenever it was unheard of. Anyone who went to an advanced level, a Rosh Hashiva shir, any bachar, any American bachar who reached the level where you were in a Rosh Hashiva shir in America, it was no such thing. It was Yiddish. The whole flavor of learning a sugya, a daf gemara, a lam shashir, a tzvedinim, it's all, it can only be expressed in Yiddish. And Rav Soloveitchik, he went and he broke tradition and he started a new trend where he taught in English. So he goes on to discuss this, that when he learned in Lakewood, that such a thing to go teach, give a shir in English, is unheard of. And the biggest raya is Matan Torah, Masorah, and Matan Torah. Everyone knows that the Torah in Har Sinai was given in Klal Yisrael in Yiddish. Okay, that's a joke. But here's another, this is not such a joke.
Now we laugh.
Now, but this is not such a joke. Vados nitna b'shushan habira. Where was the Torah given? Was the Torah given in Har Sinai, or was the Torah given in Shushan Habira? It says here in the Pasuk, this is better than what Rakefet says. It says, Rabbi Rakefet, it says here, Vahados Nidna, the Torah was given, Vahados Nidna, in Shushan Habira. How do you know this? Kimu v'kiblu, kimu mashe kiblu kivar. When they were makabel the Torah at Har Sinai, it was against their will. Kofa aleim har kigigis. Nasev and Nishma was only in Torah Shebichsav, not in Torah Shebalpeh. But here, due to the Ahavas Hanes, they saw the Yad Hashem, they saw the unusual Hashkocha Pratis. They were Makabel the Torah anew. Nasev and Nishma, even the Torah Shebalpeh Meirotzon. And that's alluded to in this pasuk. The Hados Nitna, if you really want to know where the Torah was given, it was Bishushan Habira, one of the most beautiful verloch, I think, on the Megillah. This really captures captures a lot. It captures Torah, captures the Avas Hanes, it captures the nice expression. It's a powerful little few little words, but it really speaks volumes. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Tezvav, Mordechai Yosna. This is a pasuk which with Targum here, really it's over my head, the Targum. Okay, we'll try to do the best. We'll just run it very, very quickly because I don't know how to translate the words. We'll just do the best that we can. You will help me out. Mordechai Yotzim Lufnei HaMelech B'Levush Malchus. Mordechai now, he went out before the king, B'Levush Malchus, in the clothing of Malchus, Techeles, blue, Vachur, and white. V'Ateret Zahav G'dalah, very large crown. V'Sachrich Butz V'Argaman. Now what is Sachrich? Sachrich Butz, he was a talus. Okay, like a kricha, koruch. Rashi says a belt. It's a belt. Okay. V'sach is a belt. That's okay. Fine. Ma'ate bebutz talis. Ha'osu lehisateif. Rashi seems to say it's a talis. Okay. Rashi appears to say that it's a talis. I don't know. Okay. Yenachanami. The sach comes from the word of kricha. Kricha means to wrap. So the belt you wrap around. Ancient times they used to wear these massive belts. Like what are they called? Cummerbunds?
Cummerbunds.
Yeah, but this is small, this is nothing. This is nothing compared. If you look at some pictures, go online and see what kings and nobles, it's half the body. The cummerbund wasn't just a little thing, a little black thing.
It's a big thing.
Big, covers the whole body. Okay. The sacha means, it means over here, Rashi says it's a talis. The sachrich butz of linen. Butz is linen. The argamon purple. Okay, so it says over here, so here we have Tcheles is blue, Chur is white. Now we have Butz is linen. Linen is also white. But the Argamon is purple, so already at least three colors. V'ir shushan tzohala v'samecha, two new expressions. I don't really know what the difference is. Tzohal simcha, we know what it means. Tzohala is another word which means obviously a very great degree of joy. Let's see Rashi first. V'sach, v'sachrich Butz. Ma'ate, he was covered, he was enveloped. Butz, in linen, Rashi explains. Talis he'osui lehisateif. It's a garment which is meant to embellish, to cover, to shelter your entire body. Okay, let's attempt to do the Targum the best that we can. Pasuk Tesvav. Mordechai nifak min kodam alka. Mordechai went from before the king. Bilavushu de malchusa. De tichla kad chodei. With tichla kad chodei, that was one of a kind. Okay, chodei means one of you. The tcheles seems to say over here that the tcheles wasn't just the ordinary tcheles. This was special, high class designer, purple label. No, tcheles, blue label, blue bottle. The blue label. They have something called blue label, but it was tcheles is blue. Kad chodei. The shapir libe bikara sagi. Uvirbu yatiro levish levush de malchusa. I don't really know all these words. He was wearing very beautiful clothing. Mela kar pisa techelta sher bidahav tov dioifir. Umikabin. I'm just going to read this. I really don't know what's going on over here.
Yeah.
Okay. Karpas utchelas. That's this. Utchelas sher bidahav tov. It was stitched.
No. I think it means the fine gold of Ophir.
Okay, yes, Ophir, Peru. Some say Ophir is Peru. Tav de Ophir. Okay, it was. I guess it was embellished with gold of Ophir. Umak be'in bay margalin, and it was attached. Precious stones. The avnin tavon, good stones, lugoi upon it. Min sarbala levish miyanka, dechrum yama. Okay, the sarbala means his hat. Was me. What?
Coat?
It's coat. Okay. The sabla of levish miyanko de chrum yamo. Yan, well, I don't know what these things are. Marovo, Lugoy Mine Levusha, Kituna, okay, also now the Argomon, the Tsarin Allah called Sefar Gadfa, the Oifin Shemaya.
Kituna is like a
linen. Kituna is linen. Okay, for Kituinus. Of purple.
Not an interpretation. This is a real detailed description. A
very detailed description.
He's there and he had your videos.
He has a tradition. The Targum did not. Targum was written probably only a few hundred years. How many years after this event happened? Targum really probably was during the time of the Bayesheni. Probably the tail end of the Bayesheni. So we're dealing with 400 years since it happened. Time was very slow in those days. It wasn't like today, where time travels today on like in one day, we span what it was then 100 years, almost. The time was very slow. So he had a tradition, a 400 year tradition, the time of exactly what it looked like. Maybe they had, and the tradition was passed down over 400 years. So it was this is his tradition. The Targum was written was either an oral tradition, and he's just putting it in words what the oral tradition of the detailed description of what his garments will look like. So far we have a basic gist of knowing that there was gold. Gold was attached to the garment, and we have over here some cloak, and upon the cloak, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Pasuk. The pasuk. Why do we need? Or why is the detail of the Ravush Malchus? It would have been enough. He went out in the king's garments.
I don't know the answer. If the Targum is going through the effort of telling us exactly what it looked like, there must be something deeper.
That's what I'm asking.
I don't know the answer. Yes, I don't know. No, there must be secrets. Look, it goes on to say.
So, Yama Marogo appears to be the color of the Mediterranean.
The Trelas. The color of the Mediterranean. Yeah.
Yama Marogo, the Western Sea. That's Mediterranean. So, the color green, like the Mediterranean.
Okay. Lugoy mine levushe kituna diar givon the tsoirin Allah called sefar gadfav yoifei shemaya. That basically means he wore a tunic upon which was embroidered images of birds. Okay, all the various birds of heaven. Vahavan dimei di kituna arba me'o v'asrin kikre didahava. The weight or the value of this linen was priceless. What he calls over here 400 coins of the army of Asrin, 400 the Asrin Kikre Didahava talents of gold, whatever this is, 400 talents of gold, extremely expensive. The Hemyone Moches Picharze Dimikabin de Archohi Avne Vurlo Moke Partiin Rene Birigle Machtin Bimokdonin Didahava. Somehow that means that the hem of this garment had some type of precious stone. Umischamsin Biz Margidin Visaf Sira Mido Tele Bicharze Mochis Bihulas Khilis Didahava. I don't know what that means. Vitsoira lo karto Yushlev. Somehow on the garment, on this tunic, also was embroidered the image, the city of Yerushalayim. The Ali Day, the Saf.
The crown to the Hassan,
yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
Oh, the crown. So this is the crown? Or this is not the crown. This is the Atar, right?
Right.
The image of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim shall Zahav. Yerushalayim shall.
But it's interesting that this was the Vosh Malchus of Achashverosh
gave. He gave his. Maybe it was custom made for Mordechai. Now that the Jewish people were respected, after all, Achashverosh now has a son, Daryovich, who was a Jew. So now that the Jewish people are respecting, it's in his best interest in order to give cover to Yerushalayim. Let's see, the Ali Day, the Saf Sarat, Soyara Law, God of the Mechol.
Saf Sarat seems to be a sword.
Okay, a sword. Sawyer had a sword at his side. Sawyer Allah Godo Dimchoza Chida Midoa. Mochis Bereshe Ditsayar Bitsivain. I don't know, I really apologize. I don't know what these things are. It's beyond me. Vavid Le'ela Mine Kalila Rab. Okay, wait. So he had a sword. On the sword was the image of Modai, the nation of Modai, something along those lines. Now we go to the crown. A beautiful crown, a very good crown, the half of gold, Mukdona from Mukdon. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the name of a certain type of gold. The gold, the half of Mukdona. Macedonia, the
Mokdon,
Macedon, the gold from Mokdon. Ule Elam in Klila Totva. Now here is something which has drawn the attention of all of the commentators. And above the crown, he was wearing tefillin. Now Totva, you know, it's not necessarily Totva, because you know the word Totofos. This week's parasha, last week parasha spoke. Vayuli Totofos Speinenecha. There are like 20 perushim for the exact translation of the word Totofos. We are brainwashed that it means tote pos. Tote pos is two foreign words. Each one means two. For a grand total of four, v'ayuli totofos be'necha, in between your eyes shall be an object that has four compartments. Two times two. Two plus two. But many commentators tell us the word totofos is a word which means an ornament. An ornament, just a simple ornament, beinenecha, which we know the tefillin is our ornament. So here it's being used, and according to what we're going to actually see in the Targum himself, he wore tefillin above the crown that was put on his head from Achashverosh, set into the crown, wore his tefillin, yeah?
Why, when Haman had to take Mordechai around, he suggested the crown became, he pulled back.
Oh, and here he's giving the crown. It does not necessarily mean this was the crown of the king. It means it was another crown. Every person wore a head covering that befitted his status. So it doesn't necessarily, even though he was wearing a crown, it does not mean this was the crown of the king. Or maybe Enoch Hanami, maybe he did give him the crown of the king. Maybe that Haman, what Haman did not originally, when he told Haman to parade Mordechai in the street, then he did not give him the crown. But now when he found out that Esther was his uncle, well, and so on and so forth, maybe now he and Echanami did give him the crown of the king. It's not really clear. That was set in gold. This crown was set in gold. Now that seems to indicate that it's not the tefillin. We're going to discuss this in a moment if we have time, because tefillin are not from gold. If you make tefillin from gold, it's possible.
In the crown.
But it says that the toitfon de makbe in.
It's kavua.
In the gold. All right. Fine. Okay.
Because what follows seems.
Let's see. The Yadin call Amamaya Umaya Velishana, three different expressions. The Umo Saolam, three different ways to describe the world. The Umamaya Umaya. V'rohu kol ami aretz.
Translation of the pasuk.
V'rohu kol.
Right,
we're coming there, right. So the Yodin call Amamaya, Umaya Vilishana, three different words, Vero call Ame Haretz. He elaborates three words. Dihu Mordechai Yehudi, Limiklim Kaima Karya, to fulfill the Pasuk, that this is Mordechai the Yehudi, to fulfill the Karya the Pasuk, the Chsiv that says, V'yechazun kol amo, the Ara, V'ro kol ame haretz, Arum that ki, Shmo da Hashem, Shem Hashem, Iskirei Aloch, is called upon you, period. Uvimifkei Mordechai. So therefore, it does not say the word V'yaru mimeka. Notice that. The Targum goes to the degree of telling us that he was wearing tefillin, and it was set in gold to fulfill what it says. V'rochu kol ame haretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecha. But he very mysteriously leaves out v'yaru mimecha. Okay, that speaks volumes. Is we have not yet achieved. We have not yet achieved the madrega of the Yadu Mimeka. Look, we all wear tefillin today. You know, very often, not very often, but every so often, the New York Times, they're very intrigued, they put tefillin on the front cover. I've seen on the front cover of the New York Times, people wearing, they show Jews wearing tefillin. Phylacteries, they never heard of this thing. The guy in the very, one of the, they're a lot of stories on airplanes. People put on tefillin, they think they look like they're about to blow themselves up. They got all the straps. And they don't know what these, they're very intrigued what these tefillin are. But we have yet to find the story in modern times where a guy sees a Jew wearing tefillin, and all of a sudden, the Yadu Mimeka. They're afraid of Klal Yisrael. They're afraid of themselves. They're afraid they're going to get blown up. But they're not afraid of what the Pasuk of Yirmiyah means. And it's very interesting that the Targum here goes to the effort of just translating the Pasuk, but leaves out the words V'yadu mimecha to indicate we're still in Galus. And as long as we're in Galus, the full potency of the tefillin have not yet been realized. It's still dormant, that koyach of tefillin.
What does the word phylactery actually mean?
It means tefillin. How? What does flock dream mean? I don't know. What does it mean? We have to pull out the Google. It's funny. I was in shul. There was an old time Rosh Shiva. He was sitting there. He is totally clueless of technology. And he said, and he just knows that people say. So he says, yeah, go look it up on your Google, your Kmoogle, your Shmoogle, and your Uber. And your Uber. He thinks Uber is a search engine.
What is the time for the word solar? You don't know.
Tefillin is the plural of tefillah.
Tefillah.
It is the Aramaic prayer. Tefillah. Tefillin is the plural of the word tefillin. It is the Aramaic plural of the word tefillah. There's a tefillah shel yad and a tefillah shel rosh and a double tefillah, plural of tefillah, tefillos. But in Aramaic, it's tefillin. Tefillin. So it's the plural of a double tefillah.
To differentiate?
Means to differentiate. Between us and Akkad, us and the Umos. Vesanti Fidus. Vesanti Fidus. I never heard that before. That tefillah means to differentiate. Tefillah means to differentiate? It's an idea. You have to see the Shoshan. Okay, it's one of the hardest words in Tanakh to translate.
Right.
Tefillah.
It doesn't mean prayer.
In the Torah, though, the Torah does not use the word tefillin. The Torah uses the word zikaroin, os, and tartophos. The Torah does not use the word tefillin. Phylacteries. Amulet.
It's not the same as an ornament.
I told you that.
No, it's not an ornament. Amulet. Amulet is not an ornament.
No, an amulet is...
No, it means it's an ornament.
A charm.
An amulet is like contained in it.
Charm.
That's what an amulet is.
An amulet is a charm, no?
Yes, but it has,
yeah, but it's
has
in a, it's
words
in a container.
Inside.
Yeah, container. Yeah, yeah. It's in a container.
Okay, let's see. So it says here, he went out. Dihu Mordechai Yehudi l'mekayim l'mekayim. Let's go. Okay, uve mifkei. Mordechai min taro de malka shukaya ba asaya machivin v'dorsa be'ar givona. Negitula, I have really no idea what this means over here. The people over here, he was kar bechavle butsa ule.
Shar hamela.
Okay. I tell you, let's leave this for tomorrow. I'll try to do some research. Let's leave it for tomorrow. This end of time. Let me just tell you another idea before we go further. We'll try to go over this. I'll spend some time, believe me, if I have time to go and try to find the translation of these words. But in the meantime, there's a very fascinating discussion about this mention of tefillin. According to the symbol reading of the pasuk, he's wearing tefillin on top of the crown. Now, it's a chatzitza, and that's number one. So how could you wear a tefillin on top? So first of all, that's not so simple. We, Baruch Hashem, we have halacha. It is accepted that there is, you're not allowed to put tefillin on anything that is chatzitz. However, not all of the Rishonim are of that opinion. Some hold that you all do fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, even if there is something that is a chatzitza between the tefillin head. And it's not nogi halacha l'maisa, a person has a bandage, and a person has surgery, or some type of medical procedure where he has tefillin, so then you're supposed to put tefillin upon your bandage and your yotze. Do you make a bracha? You don't make a bracha. That's a shaila. And those, there are people I know such a person that are allergic to leather. Do you know anyone like that?
A lot of people.
They're allergic to leather. That if they put leather upon their on their skin, they get a rash.
It's probably the
chemicals
that tan leather.
So, and then they actually make a special tefillin for those type of people. They use different chemicals, custom order. But I know someone. He actually has this condition. He told me that he first discovered he had this condition when he bought a car, or at least a car that had leather seats. And he went, and it was a summer day, and he went traveling. And his hand was resting on the arm, because most of the time, you know, how often do you come in contact with leather for long periods of time, and he went to the country on a summer day many years ago in a car that had leather seats, and there was this incredible rash all along his entire arm. He didn't know what it was. He went to the doctor and he told him you're allergic to leather. He did some tests and he realized, took him time to realize, and then he understood that, you know, he davens very quickly. He never really wears tefillin more than half an hour. So he never understood that the Ritzuah marks, he never really understood that his Ritzuah marks, they last almost the whole day. Like, you know, people take off their Ritzuah, so how long do their Ritzuah? Mars still here? How long do they really last? They last a It depends on a couple of minutes, right? You see, someone takes off their half an hour. His lasted for hours. He never understood. Then he first understood that he has this condition where he's allergic, to leather. And when he had his arm on a leather seat, going to the country for 2 hours, whatever it was, then it was really bad. The whole thing was, so he doesn't do it. He doesn't have special tefillin because his condition is not severe. But there are people that even are super sensitive, super sensitive, and it can really become a what? No, you can't use imitation leather.
What about his belt?
No, guys.
No, it doesn't touch the skin. It doesn't touch the skin. How? Think about it. It's not really a problem. How often do you have? You wear a leather jacket. It doesn't touch your skin. How often do you have clothing? We don't really have such things where you really come in direct contact with leather. Leather sandals. Okay, so I don't think he's not the type. This person doesn't have to wear leather sandals. He doesn't go to the beach. He is not the beach goer. But Mordechai, so in the Chanami, so let's say you have such a condition, what do you do? So according to many Paiskim, you know if it's a condition, you can put it on top. Chatzitza is a machloikis rishonim if there's a chatzitza, therefore you can answer it simply, there was a chatzitza. Others say that it was etched into the crown in a hollow space where he was able to put his tefillin. Okay, but the big problem over here is the tefillin over here, simply they were kavua in gold. How are you allowed to have gold tefillin? It's a fairish halach in the Gemara, it's a Mishnah, Mesech, and Megillah, that tefillin that are gold are pasul. So some want to suggest that the only time it's possible is if the batim themselves are made from gold. But if you plate regular kosher tefillin, Rabbi Michaels, remember he came in, Rabbi Michaels? He came in the demonstration? So if you plate the tefillin with gold, it's kosher. That would become a new industry for Hasanim. You'd have to buy it. Doesn't matter. Ke'ilu was plated with gold. $2,000 for a good pair of tefillin. So
without gold.
So some suggest that this that the Gemara says tefillin of gold apostle only if it's real gold, but if you plate it with gold, it's mutter. And in fact, that's what Mordechai did. It was a beautiful thing to have gold tefillin. Today it's unheard of among us, but maybe in ancient times this was the accepted halacha, and it was a sign of yofi. You have an atar, you have a talis. You ever see those rebbish talisos? Okay. They know that the atar can cost a 10.
You have the crown and tefillin on at the same time. We have a yarmulke, and people have a hat on at the same time.
It was strategically put on the head where you were able to put the tefillin, but the tefillin, the Targum says, was gold also. The simple translation of the Targum indicates the tefillin were gold. So the big question is, how in the world can Mordechai wear tefillin that are gold? That's a Mefarish Mishnah, that tefillin that are gold are possible. It has to be with a mutter beficha. So one answer again is, only time it's possible is when the tefillin themselves are gold. But if the tefillin are made from leather, the hide of an animal, but they're plated with gold, it's mutter, and that's in fact what Mordechai did. He wore such gold tefillin. Now others say the following chiddush. This is incredible for Chassam Sefer. I don't know if it says it exactly like this, but it's pretty close. There's a sefer called Hanechmadim Mizahav. The entire sefer is devoted to the topic of gold. Goes through Kol HaTorah Kula every time we find the concept of gold. And he has like 25 ma'amorim, 25 chapters. Some of them are really, really, really fascinating. And one chapter he devotes exactly to this topic, this targum. Mordechai yotzim lufnei ha-melech b'levush malchus, ateres v'chur, v'ateres zohov, a crown of gold. The crown is the tefillin of gold. And he says this following chiddush. The Chassam Sofer wore on Chol HaMoed Pesach, Chol HaMoed, even Sukkot, he wore non-kosher tefillin. His father-in-law, Rabbi Akiva Eger, that was his father-in-law, Rabbi Akiva Eger?
Yes, yes.
Rabbi Akiva Eger, his father-in-law once gave him a gift of like, let's say someone give you today the tefillin of the Baal Shem Tov. Right? Do they have the tefillin of the Baal Shem Tov? Okay, tefillin from 500 of the Gra. Someone give you tefillin from 1,000 years ago. Rashi's tefillin. They're probably by now for sure apostles. There's no way over 800 years, 700 years, they're going to last. So they're for sure apostles. But they're tefillin. Is there an inyan to wear such tefillin? The Chasam Sofer seemed to indicate from his actions that you wear such tefillin as an inyan of wearing tefillin on a day that you're potter from tefillin. Shabbos not on Chol HaMoed, because since Chol HaMoed is a day where it's some do and some do not, even the Chasam Sofer held you don't wear a tefillin, but you know there are many opinions that say you should wear a tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Some even make a bracha. It's weird, but there are people who even make a bracha wearing tefillin Chol HaMoed. So on a day when it's questionable to wear a tefillin, that's the day you wear tefillin psulim, which have some significance in halacha. So he got from his father-in-law a collector's item. I don't know what exactly his tefillin they were. His father-in-law, Bekiva Eger, gave him tefillin from a very great person, very holy tefillin, but it was pasul. So you're not going to wear pasul tefillin, no matter how great the person is. You're not yoy to the mitzvah. But don't you want to wear the tefillin of Rashi? Don't you want to wear the tefillin of the Baal Shem Tov? Don't you want to wear the tefillin of the Gra? Whoever you want to say. Of course I do. So put it on. Wear them. Wear them, but don't wear them on a day that you mechuyev in the mitzvah of tefillin, because you're going against halacha. You can't go try to wear tefillin when you're not yet to the mitzvah. So he says, now this is a little bit forced. We know that the letters were sent out on the 23rd day of Sivan. The letters were sent out to the entire world. But he seems to suggest that this pasuk is going back. Mordechai yotza lefnei ha-melech b'levush malchus, ateres zahav gidolah, is going back to the Pesach, the 16th day of Pesach. The miracle occurred on either the second day Pesach or the third day Pesach during that time. And then it took time until the letters went out. But the miracle took place. So the day after that Esther gave Mordechai the base Haman, appointed him upon the base Haman, we're going back to that time, the seventh, the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, or Mordechai Yotza. It was Chol HaMoed Pesach. On Chol HaMoed Pesach, you don't wear kosher tefillin, but you're allowed to wear tefillin psulim. And what were the tefillin psulim of Mordechai?
Gold
tefillin. You have gold tefillin made from pure gold with the parshios. You're not yotze the mitzvah. Lamanti ataris Hashem beficha. But it's still tefillin. It's still made with all the dinim of tefillin. I know it's a very bizarre concept, but that's what the Chasam Sofer says.
And why do we learn from Yiddish? Really shouldn't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed.
What?
Those people who put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed are doing the wrong thing.
Not necessarily. Tefillin Chol HaMoed, according to most, it's a parva inyan. If you want to put on tefillin, you yoytze the mitzvah of tefillin. If you don't want to wear tefillin, you're not mechuyev to wear tefillin because the yom tov itself is in ois. It all depends on how much you make out of Chol HaMoed. If you want to have a madrega where you can make Chol HaMoed for you into a yom tov, you don't wear tefillin. If you're not on that madrega, you go to work, you do things like you treat like an ordinary day, you're not on that madrega, you should wear tefillin. Many Hasidim, there was the custom that until you get married, until you mature, on Chol HaMoed, you wear tefillin. When you become a certain age, a certain degree of maturity, and to appreciate what day is all about, then you stop wearing tefillin. So today, this is the Yiddish Tahar. This is what the pasuk means. Mordechai Hitaka wore gold tefillin, and gold tefillin taka apostle. But you have to understand, when was he wearing these tefillin? He was wearing in Chol HaMoed Pesach. And that's right. On Chol HaMoed Pesach is the time when you can have tefillin shel zahav, tefillin made from gold. Such a bizarre type of concept.
They say he went to shul in the morning, put on his regular tefillin, and then when he was in the king's service, he wore the king's tefillin.
He wore the king's tefillin of gold. But it could be that it gives it more of an oomph, more of a potency, because if it's a day when you are chayiv in tefillin, maybe you're not allowed. Maybe it's like marasayin to wear such tefillin on a day when you're mechuyiv in tefillin. Okay, but this is it's definitely a novel idea in the wearing of tefillin of Mordechai. Okay, we'll stop over here.